I was at McMurray at the time, and I was just itching to get into this, but we couldn't get into it until we were called in. So, finally I was called to go up and take part in this search. So we went up, and first thing I had to do was to get them supplied with dog food, that was dried fish, and get their food stocks up. And where they had the camp at that time, it was on top of a bald-headed mountain. Well, there was no trees there anyway. It was more or less bare land. It's the district they're in is just east of the Yukon border, in about there. And got them all supplied, and then we started to try to track Johnson down to try to find them. I mentioned that it was very hard to see. There was no sun. If you know what the light is with poor visibility like that and no sun, you can't see anything. Just everything is white, and it's very hard to pick up anything. You couldn't pick up his tracks. And although we did see some of his tracks, but very few of them. His tracks would be seen one place. Tonight, tomorrow morning, they'd be seen 20 or 30 miles away. He'd travel that distance in the night. And sometimes he'd go straight as a die. He wouldn't stop for anything. Anyway, we looked and looked, and we flew low over every inch of the country that could be. We were hoping that he would fire at us. He wouldn't have hit us probably anyway. But we wanted him to disclose his position, but he was too wise for that and wouldn't do it. Finally, the sun, it was just the time that the sun came up. The first day, I think, that the sun appeared. And it was shining on this mountain that was behind where we were working, towards the Yukon, which the mountain, the range of mountains where the Yukon and Northwest Territory boundary. The sun just hit the mountain, and it would show up in me very clearly then, and I just happened to get a glimpse of what I thought was a track going over the pass of this mountain. I went in closer and take a look at it, and sure enough, it was a snowshoe trail. I went over the other side and followed them on the Yukon side about 75 or 100 miles. We're now on the Yukon into Lapeer House, about Lapeer House, which is in about here. Right about here. Lapeer House is a place where, in the olden days, it used to take 8 years to get supplies into Lapeer House and get the furs back. Today, you could do it actually by 10 or 8 hours with a good machine. We could certainly do it by 8 days by regular methods now. It used to take in those days, it used to take 8 years. Quite an historic place. Anyway, he was in that district. But when he crossed the Yukon, the snow was much deeper than it was on the Northwest Territory side. The snow over there was packed hard, and you could walk on it. You couldn't even in the other side of the pavement. You could walk on it very easily, except when you got into sheltered places. Over there, he had a hard time, and he was slowing down. You could see where he was slowing down from his tracks, from the stops that he made, and the direction of his tracks. He was not going straight. We got the dog teams and the police moved over to Lapeer House. And then at that time, I went out scouting again, trying to pick up the tracks. I did pick up one set of tracks, but he was fooling us, actually. I'll tell you about this. He's fooling us that he was using the caribou trail that's running along the center of the river. The caribou are by the hundreds of thousands there, and when they start making a trail and going someplace, it's just like pavement. They have a regular sidewalk, just like pavement. And he had taken his snowshoes off and was following his caribou trail, so that he wouldn't, they couldn't, we couldn't track him. I did notice, though, that one place that he had gone up to camp at the side of the river. He was then on the Eagle River. I gave the location to the dog teams, who was then Inspector Eames, Alec Eames, and he took a shortcut, and the next morning we were after him. They left early in the morning, and I couldn't get off as early as I wanted to because of fog. But actually, when we all met at the same place, I was up overhead when Alec Eames was coming around the bend of a river, and Johnson was in the middle of the river. He tried to run up the bank to get out of his way. He didn't have his snowshoes on. He was walking his caribou trail. He couldn't make it, so he came back into the center river, dug himself into the snow, and the fight started. We were up on top and circling, watching the fight and taking pictures of it. I then saw during the fight that one man was hit. He was laying by his dolphin. He had been hit. So I came around the bend of the river and came up to him and picked him up and started back home. He was badly hit. That was a chap named Percy, who he was kneeling when he was firing. He came through his elbow, out his elbow, through his knee, out his knee, in his arm, out his arm, through, just missed his heart, went right through him, and the bullet was launched just under the skin at the back of his back, his right hand side. And he was in bad shape, and the blood was just spurting out of him. There was nothing we could do for him but get him in the aircraft and get him back to the paddock, where there was a hospital and a doctor. We got him back there, but going through, as we hit the mountains, the pass, there was a very heavy snowstorm. And if I hadn't been through there probably 100 times, I wouldn't have known. I'd never got through it because I knew every stone or every turn in that pass. And I was fortunate enough, with the help I was telling you about, to get through to Atlantic. And the doctor said if we'd have been 15 minutes later, that Hersey would have died. Well, that was it. I went back then and we picked up some of the police and picked up Johnson and brought him back to Atlantic. They never found out who this chap Johnson was, whatever his name was. He had about $2,400 in cash on him. He had some pearls with him. He had a lot of gold teeth that he knocked the teeth out and kept the gold, that bridge work. And he had a lot of pearls and a lot of fine gold, too. There was nothing ever found out about the man. So they just buried him at Atlantic, and let's be at that. Now, that's the Johnson story. Yes, sir. Who is this? There's two of them there. This other fellow had his hand up first. Over here. Well, the last time I looked at him, I would say he had about 15 or 20 bullet holes in him. And I got one of them at home, haven't we? Still got one of them.